Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. It to him all day. All day. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Birdland. Win or lose, we bringing it to you always. Always. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Orange or black, we rebuild the pack. No matter where we at, you know we coming back. Section 336, we on this, so tune in. Tune in. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Yeah, yeah. Welcome to Birdland. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Birdland. Now, here come the boys from Section 336.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Baltimore sports fans of all ages, welcome to Section 336, Next Generation Baltimore Sports Talk. I am your endearingly stunning host, Matt Soroka. As always, I'm joined by the button lover, Josh Soroka.
Hey, Matt, how you doing? Can't wait to tell you about Little League. Had my first practice.
Yeah, I'm curious to see this this train wreck.
I addressed the parents. Lots of feedback last week from people with both advice and warnings.
I can imagine.
Look
forward to hearing that.
But we'll get to that story later on.
Yep. Speaking of advice and warnings, we're also joined by a guy whose his leg heals faster than Lamar Jackson's, the zany one, Bert.
What's up, 336ers? Yeah, let's hope. Although it's not my knee, right? Lamar's his knee?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is my tibia and fibia.
Let me ask you a question. Fracture. If there was a playoff game next week, could you play in the playoff game at quarterback?
Not a chance.
What about 8 weeks from now?
Yeah. All points. The doctor told me within 4 weeks, I'll be walking around like nothing happened. I'll be walking around, but it's still healing. And after 6 weeks, it'll be like it never happened.
Matt, so. I know the Orioles actually made a trade. We actually got a kind of legit pitcher this week.
I'm so pumped about it. Yeah.
But last week,
so is he. He's pumped about
last
it too.
Week, yeah. While we were recording the episode, for a little bit, Bert was no longer with us, as he was knocked out and put under for his surgery while we were recording. And I believe
did you have any type of OB? Did you see yourself floating above the operating table at all, Bert?
No, none of that. I mean, what it's like 8:45 on Monday night, East Coast time right now, as we record this, and exactly 1 week ago right now is about when they were putting me under. So,
I believe Matt's phrase was, you're no longer with us. As in, you're no longer on the podcast, but it being awkward because you're put under at the same time.
True. Yeah. So I guess both work.
But Matt, I believe, have you been like me where you've kind of avoided getting any details from Bert, like checked in, let us know like we care about Bert, but not wanting any details because we know we want it on the podcast? Or did you go into deep?
Yeah, I mean, my reason for not wanting details is not that. But
Matt, tell them about all the text messages you sent me to see how good I'm doing. Tell Josh about that.
Yeah, he sent that to me.
Let me officially check in on Bert. How are you doing? Bert, right. Wishing you a speedy recovery.
Let me guess.
Get well soon, Bert.
You got the same text message from Matt that I got last week. One that says, happy birthday.
Hey, I got zero for Bert. But I got one for you, which I'm proud of.
You did get me. But anyway.
I'm surprised I didn't get a text from other people saying, why haven't you texted yet? But
still distracted. But I think you and I were even confused with some of the – we made some assumptions about the activity he was doing that I think turned out to be wrong.
Well, that's why I didn't want to ask about it, because I feel like, listen, if he wants to share what happened, he can share what happened. But the manner is a little bit suspicious. I don't want to pry.
Sure.
Maybe it was, embarrassing. Maybe he's uncomfortable sharing.
I hope all of that.
I mean, it is embarrassing. So
is it time for something we haven't had in a long time?
Yeah. Let's do this.
Number else, and we'll never end. Bird story. story time.
Oh,
all right, somewhere else.
All right, so you guys want to hear about what happened. I broke my leg. We've established that. My left leg, tibia and fibia, spiral fracture. Every time the doctors came in, they showed me the x-rays, and they're like, whew, you really did a number on that leg. I'm like, I know. I was there. So my birthday and my wife's birthday, they always fall right between, right around each other. My wife's is the 22nd of January. Mine's the 25th, and the day after is Josh's, coincidentally.
And 26. Don't forget, Flora gets mixed in there, too, somehow.
That's right. Baby girl's in the mix. You
couldn't just leave that week to ours. Matt had to get involved as well.
The more the merrier.
I didn't text Flora happy birthday either.
So we're looking to do something fun for my wife's birthday to celebrate her. And, you know, with our family, we got the three kids. We're like, we could just stay home and watch a movie. We could go out to dinner. We could play board games, but I mean, that's all played out. We do that all the time anyway. Let's go out and actually do something. Let's do something fun together as a family to celebrate Laura's birthday. So Saturday night, the best idea we came up with was, let's go to Skateland. You remember Skateland from when you were a kid from the 80s, the roller rink.
It's January. Why not ice skating?
Because we thought that would be too dangerous. My wife, because I was pushing for ice skating. There's a couple indoor rinks, and there's the outdoor rink over on the White Marsh. The price is reasonable. You can get a reservation. Even if Laura didn't want to ice skate or she didn't want to worry about Albie, I could go. I would take the girls. I've ice skated before. It'll be fine.
Didn't Laura like break her knee or leg or something ice skating?
Laura broke her leg. I think it was ice skating or roller skating.
That's probably as a kid. Scared of ice skating.
Yeah, that's so, why when I heard the injury, I assumed reasonable. Ice skating.
Me too.
And I thought, here's another ice skating injury. But no, roller skating.
Yeah, ice skating would have been a slightly cooler way to do it. But roller skating, it is what it is.
All right, blades or four wheels?
Just four wheels. Yep.
Okay.
Little backstory. My middle daughter, middle child Delaney, is in the eighth grade. And about 4 weeks ago, they had a middle school event at Skateland. And I took her and she met up with a bunch of her friends. And I didn't roller skate, but I just sat in a booth, played on my phone for 2 hours. You know, adult supervision in 2023. That's what it is. So she did okay. And I was enjoying just the atmosphere, because I don't know if anybody's been recently, but Skateland is exactly the same as it was when I was in middle school.
Probably the same carpets too.
Same carpets. The playlist has changed a bit, the soundtrack, the music, but you know, it's still very much the same. The walls, the decoration, the lights, everything. So the decision to do roller skating instead of ice skating was welcomed, because all five of us would do it. Laura was more comfortable ice skating. She's like, Albie's never done it. Kinsey, I don't think Kinsey had ever done it. And Delaney had just done it 4 weeks earlier. So she was eager to try it again. She was pretty good by the end of it. And I, observing a couple of weeks ago, I was like, I'm sure I could do this again. I used to be a pretty decent roller skater when I was 12. So 30 years ago.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. Rolling around with wheels on your feet, that sounds like a good time. Yeah.
It sounds like something, like I think it's kind of like riding a bike. You don't really forget.
Exactly.
Get out there.
I've compared it in the same manner, riding a bike, because I put on the skates and I was the first one out there. And I was like, it's a little awkward, but it's coming back to me. You know, you push side to side, you get your balance, you get a little, my feeling was the faster I got, the more comfortable I was, because I felt like I was in control. And then I knew how to slow down. I could make the turns. Everything was great. Laura was going around with Albie, like holding his hand, because he was just doing this, you know, kicking his feet back and forth. It's very much getting used to it, because he had never done it before. And each of the girls were doing pretty good on their own, but staying close to the wall. So I did a few laps on my own. I was getting comfortable. I took each of the girls, like held their hands and gave them turn all the way around without holding on to the walls. So they were feeling comfortable.
So you're like the expert here. You are leading the way. Sure.
I did one with Albie too. I held Albie's hand and took him around one time. We were there probably about 30, 40 minutes or so, and everything was fine. I was doing great as 42, almost 43-year-old men do. And at one point I came around, I was going down the longer stretch of the rink, and a person in front of me had slowed down, not anything nefarious or anything, just slowing. So being behind them, I either had to go around them or slow down myself. So I chose to slow down, which I feel like I did comfortably, but my left foot, my left skate went behind me. I don't know. I don't remember why or how. It's probably completely wrong technique, but my left foot went behind me, tripped me up, and I basically just collapsed and sat on my own left ankle. And even with the loud music, I heard it. It was audible both like in my ears and in my head, like in my body. It was not pleasant. I knew immediately that I hurt myself pretty badly, but I had to get off the ice rink or the roller skate rink. Ice rink would have sounded so much cooler. Maybe not so much, but a little cooler. So then I basically just army crawled across the wooden roller skating rink to the closest opening and just like kind of collapsed there. I was already like laying down full body. And just
so people are
there.
Still skating around. The pop music is still blasting, and there you are,
very much so,
army crawling your way to the side.
How many people
probably
almost
screaming,
ran into you,
right? Because you're in pain.
I was definitely groaning and being like, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I got all the way off the rink, like basically like down to like my thighs. So like my knees on down were still like laying on the rink. And at that point I couldn't move them.
And your family like, doesn't see you yet?
No.
Oh, wow.
And so like, I'm looking up at these people who are looking down at me and they're like, you okay, bro? You all right? And I'm like, I don't think I'm okay. And then a couple employees in like their referee outfits with their whistles and roller skates, they come by.
They're doing a little backwards skate to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the pros. And they're saying thing. You okay, bro? Can you get your legs off the rink at least? And I'm like, I think I can, but I was like winded from the army crawl all the way across the rink. I was like, I need a minute. I think I could move them off the rink, but I'm gonna need a minute. And then all of a sudden they're on the walkie talkies and they're like, we gotta call the ambulance. And they're like, a couple people are like, can you move them? And other people are like, just leave them alone. Don't worry about. Don't move. Just stay where you are. They put a couple.
Huh? No, go on. Maybe well, actually did what I was the joke I was going to make. Go ahead.
Well, I was wondering if the I would imagine the referees are probably kids, right? Were they?
No, it was adults. I mean, they were young adults. Yeah, it wasn't teenagers. I mean, the guy had a beard. I remember that.
Well, that could be a teenager nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty big beard, a man beard.
All right, and he didn't want to just pick you up and carry you off.
No, I mean, I think at that point they don't want to touch you because they don't know what's going on. So they put a couple little cones out where my feet were dangling on the ring. And they're like, let's close off this entrance exit way, you know, so they wouldn't let anybody in or off the rink from that one entry point.
It's like a traffic accident. Just move them to the side and put some cones up.
Yeah, pretty much.
I was going to ask for some like caution tape or something, but the cones are even better. They
yeah,
put
that
a nice
basically
white sheet over you.
It was basically Skateland's version of caution tape. It's the little cones they put out. Stay off of this area of the rink. Right. And still, like, my wife and kids are nowhere to be found. And
where are they? How big is this rink?
The employees are like, are you here by yourself? Like, I guess it could have gotten a little sadder, but I was like, no. My wife's out there. My three kids are out there.
Hold on. But how big is this rink? What were they doing? Because
I mean,
when you
it was pretty big, and it was
but
big.
I feel like I've taken the kids roller skating, and I can still look around and see where all the kids are and where my family members are while I'm skating.
Well, and it had gotten pretty crowded. It was a Saturday night, and I mean, I am shocked. I was there a couple weeks ago for Delaney's middle school thing.
Like we're supposed to know Saturday night's the hot spot at the roller rink.
I had no idea. I'm flabbergasted still that I've been there twice in the last month, and it is packed both times. I had no idea people still go to Skateland. It's insane. So like the
so
guys
you
all decide,
are like, they put the cones up. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, well, let's see if we can get your family over here. Can you describe what they look like? And I said, my wife's wearing a gold long sleeve shirt. She's with a little boy. And they're like, and so they're like, okay, we got her. And so like they spotted her instantly and they called, they went over, and then she'll tell you, they said, your husband hurt himself. He's over here. So she comes over. And it started to become a little bit of a blur there. I never like lost consciousness or anything, but like, next thing I knew, there were EMTs there, and they real quick got the scissors out and they cut all the laces off the skate and took the skate off my foot. And then they took the scissors and cut my jeans all the way up just past my knee, which was a bummer because they were my favorite jeans.
Are you still laying in the roller rink at this point?
Yes. Yeah. They hadn't taken me to the ambulance yet.
All right.
So then the EMTs, they put some kind of soft cast or inflatable cast or something on it and then put me up on the gurney and wheeled me out of there, down the stairs, everything into the back of the ambulance.
Did they realize how bad the injury was? Could you tell by looking at it that it was broken?
I think they could probably tell. I mean, there weren't any, it wasn't a compound fracture. Nothing was sticking out of the skin or anything. Right. There wasn't any blood, but I think it was getting pretty swollen at that point, and they knew I couldn't move it. They put me in the back of the ambulance, and I could hear Laura talking to him outside the ambulance, and Laura was going to follow me. They had gotten my brother on the phone. My brother was going to take the kids, so Laura could be at the hospital. I'd never been in an ambulance in my life. The everyone I dealt with was super nice. They gave me fentanyl in the ambulance, and they're like, you're going to start feeling real loopy now. I'm like, whatever. I mean, whatever you want to give me, I don't care. I feel like I told everybody in the world, no allergies. I'm, how much I weigh, how tall I am.
Which
just a lot of repeating the same stuff. Huh?
You have to make sure they know which leg to work on too, right?
I think it was pretty obvious that once I got in there. But they took me to Franklin Square Hospital, and then I never felt loopy, but I could definitely feel getting chattier because I feel like every nurse or doctor I talked with, I was like, this is so ironic because my birthday's on Wednesday and I was born in this same hospital 43 years ago.
So it's basically become a spring training episode of 336.
Yeah, kind of talking,
a lot of excitement.
Oh, I mean, so that whole first night was I don't want to get into every detail. There were a lot of little things that happened. There was a couple of little funny stories, but you know, at one point they brought in this one guy who, there wasn't any room for me. So I'm laying on a gurney at Franklin Square in the emergency room, just in the hallway, which I think is fairly common when there's no rooms available. They'll just line people up in the hallways. And then there's this one dude in the bed at my feet who lights up a cigarette in the emergency room, laying in his gurney, and the nurses all freak out. I mean, justifiably so. You can't smoke in a hospital. Like they're like, sir, you have to put that out, sir. And he's like incoherent. And they eventually, he won't put it out. So they take a bottle of water and just like douse it on his face to put out the cigarette. Fun. And he's still like not reacting at all. And then about like 10 minutes later, he starts going, y'all messed up my phone. It's like blubbering nonsense. And the nurses are all real sassy right back to us. Like, that's because you lit up a cigarette in here, dummy. Don't you? There's oxygen tanks everywhere. You can't light a cigarette in here. And he's like, y'all messed up my phone. Y'all, why'd y'all dump water in my face? And they had security there just for this one dude. I was like, I don't know. I'm sure I'm safe, but I'm starting to feel a little unsafe.
Yeah, no, that doesn't surprise me at all. Having a wife who's a nurse, the amount of people that go into the hospital with just mental issues or drug issues, it's wild. It's a wild, wild place. I hear wild stories all the time.
No, I'm sure there's nothing I could tell her that she hasn't seen 10 times worse.
But as Laura described it, she just said like they carried you out to the ambulance in a blanket. And I imagine someone like finding a blanket there and just picking you up in this kind of random blanket and dragging you outside, but it was like a gurney.
Well, I don't know. Now that you say that, she could be right. I was looking straight at the ceiling, so I really have no idea. They might have been carrying me in a blanket, or it might have been like a backboard or something, and they just carried that.
I like the idea of swallowed in a blanket carried out. Yeah.
So are half of your pants still at Skateland?
No. I was in my cut up jeans the whole time I was at Franklin Square, pretty much for a day and a half, really. They were still buttoned at my waist, but cut all the way past my knee on my left leg. And like they came in that night and they just kept saying, we can get you into surgery tonight. And I was like, great, you know, let's knock this out. Let's just do what you got to do. And they took me back three times for x-rays because they checked my ankle, they checked my knee, they checked my foot. They put me in a CAT scan, all my ligaments, everything's good. But seeing the x-ray of my tibia and fibia, I mean, it's obviously a bad break. But it could have been worse because if it would have been, you know, shattering my ankle or the bone, the break made its way up to its knee or like I tore a ligament or something, that could have been way worse. So the fact that it's just my bone is good.
So you're expecting a full recovery?
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
But there'll be a pin or something lodged into your ankle now?
Well, that's the thing. Just to backtrack until I get there, they ended up not getting me to surgery Saturday night. So like, we'll get you in first thing Sunday morning.
Okay.
Sunday morning, they're saying 9:30. Then they say 12:30. Then they say 3:30. It's going to be like 8:30, nothing. And then the surgeon comes in and says, sorry, we couldn't fit you in. Meanwhile, I hadn't been eating all day because you can't eat if you're going to have surgery.
Yeah.
So I hadn't eaten anything since lunch on Saturday. Well, and here it is, Sunday night.
That probably still makes the drugs better.
I guess, but I mean, they put me on morphine, but it was like every 3 hours. So like I couldn't rest because every 3 hours somebody was coming in having to deal with that and then check my blood pressure and vitals, temperature every 3 hours. So there's like no rest because as soon as I fall asleep, they're coming in waking me up for some bull crap again. And
it's
I'm
terrible
starving.
For you, but it's terrible for you. But also, like, it must be terrible for Laura too, right?
Yeah, I mean, she's been an angel
waiting
whole time.
And waiting and waiting. Yeah,
yeah, and my brother took my kids, so he's like, I had $100 in my wallet. Laura's like, here's $100. Here's Bert's credit card. Just do whatever you want with them. And I don't know everything they did, but I do know they went to Costco. That was at least one of their stops. So anyway, I meet the surgeon. He was great, but then he's like, sorry, we can't get you in Sunday night. I ate a sandwich around 9 o'clock Sunday night, and they said, we'll try again Monday morning. And then Monday morning was like the lowest day out of that two and a half day period, I guess, just because like 9:30 passes, 12:30 passes. It's getting to be like 6:30, 7:30, nothing. And all the nurses can say is you're on the list. You're on the list. They'll get you in if they can.
Meanwhile, what is this, like a heart transplant? What are you talking about, a little ankle surgery?
I don't know, man. I was super frustrated.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
But also being as polite as I can, because I know the nurses, there's nothing they can do about it, you know, and they are like, being real good to me.
And it's not like you like scheduled this. You didn't have an appointment.
No.
You just showed up and threw this on them.
But it was also like I was starting to get real down in that, like, I was like, if you can't get me tonight, that's fine. Let me go home. I'll be more comfortable at home. Yeah. And then let's schedule this thing. And I'll come back and let's do it when it's scheduled. But at the same time, I wasn't necessarily trusting that because, at least from what they were telling me, they were scheduling for the next morning. And that never happened. So, like, what's the deal? What's the point in scheduling if you're not going to stick to the schedule?
Right.
So, anyway, that's just a little bit of frustration I was feeling. They did real late, around 8 o'clock Monday night. They came in, they're like, you're going in. And like me, Laura's like jumping up and down. It was a very exciting moment. And so, yeah, they took me back. They got me prepped for the surgery. They brought me into the big white room with the giant lights. And there's like 10 people all around and everyone's super nice. And they moved me from the hospital bed onto the surgeon's table. And they gave me the little oxygen mask. And I don't even remember the very next thing I remember is waking up in a dark room and they're like, okay, you're done.
Well,
it was insane. It was insane. There was no countdown. There was no like drowsiness. And it was in my mind, it was an instant. It wasn't even like a long rest, no dreams. It was just like laying in the bright room to opening my eyes in a dark room that quick. It was insane.
Wow.
I'm thankful that I'm able to talk because I don't know what happened during surgery. And I didn't really force the issue with anyone there, but I know they were going to put a breathing tube down my throat during the surgery. And so when I woke up, the tip of my tongue was real sore. And it still is a little bit now, but it's much better. And I'm looking in a mirror and the whole tip of my tongue is like white and blistery. Like, I think I must have just been biting down on my tongue the whole time I was out, you know, for 2.5, 3 hours, however long it was. And I guess nobody saw it or did anything about it. Just let me bite the crap out of my tongue the whole time I'm knocked out. I feel like that is healing slower than my leg. The past few days it's been hard just to talk. Obviously, I'm talking my face off right now, but
yeah,
it's been awkward.
Yeah, I'm always, speaking of talking, I would be always concerned. This is not a concern I always have, but. You know, you see this on TV sometimes where I have a lot of thoughts that I don't want to share with the world. And isn't there a tendency when you get like knocked out that you can start like saying stuff that you don't even remember saying?
Right. You're thinking like the dental, like Charlie bit my finger and stuff. The dental like TikTok videos.
Sure. Yeah. And then somebody takes a video of it and you say all these things that probably you really feel, but you just, you know, never say. Any reports of you saying anything inappropriate throughout this whole process?
Not inappropriate. I do remember this part brings back bad memories, but our first night there at the hospital, the one nurse who was assigned to me was very friendly and she brought in the doctors and she's like, we're going to have to take the wrap off what the EMTs did and get your leg right before the doctor comes in here. And I was dreading it. I knew it had to happen, but I was like, you got to drug me up before you do this because it's going to suck. And it sucked for sure. Yeah, but the lady was so nice. And like, you know, Laura, I remember it. And Laura was trying not to laugh, but it was every profanity under the sun, like pounding the table and screaming and sweating. And I know like the door's shut, but the rooms are close together. Like everyone can hear me, I'm sure. And this poor woman is just like grabbed onto my leg. And like after every stream of consciousness comes out of my mouth, I follow it with like, I'm so sorry. You're doing a great job. I know this is unpleasant. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be saying these things. So it was very up and down, like between total out of control, like rage and pain, to like very apologetic and calm and like taking a deep breath. And once that morphine that first night started to kick in, I know I got very chatty with the lady. I don't think I said anything bad, but I was very overly friendly with everybody and very talkative. After the second or third time they took me back for the x-ray, it was the same x-ray guy, and they'd push me to the door and I'd be like, remember me? That sort of thing. Yeah. I remember you, man. Yeah, you were cool last time I was in here. And he'd be like, yes, I was cool.
So that's when the drugs were real strong.
Yes.
That's what you've been working off of.
Yeah, that was pretty pleasant. I think I slept okay that first night. But again, it's like there's only so much you that I was still in like a little OR or I'm sorry, ER corridor room. It was more of a closet than a room for the first night. And then the next day around dinner time is when they finally moved me to like a real room with a couch and a recliner chair and my own bathroom and stuff like that. Laura came home both nights that I was in there. Oh, no, I was there 3 nights, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night. Yeah, she came home all 3 nights, but I mean, that was fine with me. She didn't need to be there. She wouldn't have slept good. And the kids were all still at home. So yeah, surgery Monday night, spent the night, slept pretty good. And then came home Monday around came home Tuesday, day before my birthday, 2 days after Laura's birthday, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And so that's where I've been ever since.
Worst birthday ever.
Yeah, it was not great. Fortunately, we didn't have anything big planned. It was definitely memorable. We've done a few memorable ones these past few years, but this one takes the cake for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a big bummer in that I'm like useless around the house right now. I'm upstairs, but it's no point in me going downstairs because I can't do anything. And so all the chores, all the grocery shopping, all the things I usually do is everyone else having to do it. And I don't like that. I like doing that stuff for my family. So I'm a little annoyed that they have to do it for themselves.
Yeah. Are the kids stepping up? I mean, your children old enough. Are they?
Yeah.
How are they responding to this?
Yeah. They're good. I sometimes have to shoot them a text message. Hey, come up here. And they'll come up and I like, I need you to do this, this, and this. And then they usually do. Yeah. So yeah, they're being helpful.
Are you tired of TV yet?
I wish I was. I missed 2 days of work as far as for my occupation. Yeah,
you're
not
a
good
busy
to take
right now.
Yeah. It's not good to take 2 days off of work in late January. So I've been spending the past week getting caught up on those 2 days, and I have a home office, but that's in the basement. So I've made a makeshift office here in the bedroom where I'm talking to you from right now. And I do watch quite a bit of TV, but it's only begrudgingly because I'd rather be able to sit here and do work, but there's only so much I can do before I just get too tired of it or starts hurting, or I just need a change of scenery. And my only change of scenery is from this chair to that bed.
Yeah.
But everybody's optimistic. I'm staying optimistic. If we go to the doctor on Wednesday and he's like, "Ooh, this is not healing the way we wanted to," that's going to be a massive blow. But I'm
but he
optimistic.
Won't say that, so it'd be good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the next step is to put me in a boot. They'll take the soft cast off. That way I should be able to go back to bending my knee at least. And if I could put some weight on my knee, I can move to one of those scooters, you know, that you just put one knee on the scooter. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, sure. You can roll around. Yeah.
Yeah. I have one of those already. A good friend of mine loaned me his from when he had an Achilles injury. So it's downstairs. It's ready for me to use it. But until the doctor gives me the okay to put weight on the knee, I can't use it.
That will look way cooler than the walker.
Totally. I wouldn't mind going out to like the grocery store in that just to get some fresh air or do something.
Plus you get to then switch to the motorized scooter.
I'd like to bypass that altogether if possible. But with the surgery, they had to go in just below my left kneecap, you know, in that little soft spot where you have your reflexes. And they inserted a rod all the way down my tibia. That is going to stay there forever. Titanium rod. So I'm like half cyborg now. And there's screws and stuff in there, apparently. I haven't seen the post-op x-ray yet. I'm hoping to see that on Wednesday because I'd like to see what it looks like. But apparently the screws and the rod are there for the rest of my life.
That's going to be fun in metal detectors.
Yeah, I was saying, I'm not going to the airport security line with you. I'll go separate.
That's the first thing I said to the doctor. And he's like, well, I was like, am I going to need like one of those cards to get through airport security now? And he's like, they don't care about that anymore. Nobody uses like, you'll be fine in metal detectors. That these rods in our bones is so commonplace these days. Like people who run metal detectors don't blink an eye at it. You know, it just is what it is.
Yeah. I always think about these. Yeah, go ahead, Bert.
I was going to say that the doctor, you could Google the doctor, the orthopedic surgeon who worked on me. He was drafted by the Toronto Blue Jays like in 2005. He's a big baseball guy. And he's apparently one of the orthopedic surgeons for the Orioles. So I felt bad. The guy had to have been like worn out because both times he came in to see me before the surgeries were the nights he had to come in and tell me we're not getting it done tonight. And I could tell he was annoyed and he was tired. But the first night I met him and he came in and talked to me and you know, it was just a good chat, but he was tired. I could tell still in his scrubs who knows how many surgeries he did that day.
Yeah.
And I was like, before I let you go, I want to let you know, my wife and I Googled you, you're a big baseball guy. And he's like, yeah, big baseball guy. Yeah. And I was like, hoping that would like turn into a conversation. Yeah, yeah. And he was just he just wanted to go home, I think. Yeah, yeah. Dr. Louze, it's either Looze or Louze. I can't remember exactly, but that's the guy if you Google him. I'm hoping when I go back on Wednesday, it's a Wednesday morning, maybe he'll be in a better mood for chatting. I'd like to dig a little deeper on this baseball Orioles thing.
You're going to order your custom jersey with his name in the back to show up on Wednesday with?
I just want to be like, tell me something about, you know, somebody's surgery or who.
Right. Machado. Did you work on Machado's knee? How was his surgery?
Yeah.
Machado's knee. Yep. Markakis broken thumb from the playoff year.
Or any secret surgeries that never were released.
And there just you go. Yeah, I want some dirt.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought I would have loved to come with a better story than that. We'll see. Maybe if I get any good dirt on Wednesday, I'll share it with you guys.
Hey, if a broken ankle, is that what it takes to get Bert's story time up and going again? I'm sorry it happened, Bert, but the silver lining is Bert's story time is back.
It's good to be here. Yep. It's good to share the details with people who want to listen.
And I like that you told someone to their face that you Googled them. I thought we all Google people behind their back and you don't actually tell them that you Googled.
Well, they had told us the doctor's name, the surgeon's name, you know, the hours before we met him. So we knew who the guy was going to be. We're like, oh, let's find out about this guy. I mean,
yeah, I would Google my doctor too. Yeah.
No, sure. I would doctors too. Are rock stars. They got to know people are looking them up.
I'm sure. I just haven't heard of telling the person you did.
I am really dreading when they take this soft cast off, because I never really took a good look at my leg once they unwrapped it in the hospital. I don't really want to see it. Mm. And they showed me the x-rays, and even that was unpleasant to look at. And so when they take this wrap off here with all the post-op colors and scars and stitches, and I have no idea what it's going to look like. And
springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I don't want to look at it, but I'm going to ask my wife to like take pictures of it that I can look at later and like from a distance.
a couple years down the road. Yeah. You can't live the rest of your life, Bert, without ever looking at your foot again.
I know. It's it. So yeah. I feel lucky that it wasn't my ankle or foot or knee or ligaments or anything like that. The break is bad, but they seem to think it'll be a full recovery. It's just, I got to be patient and optimistic and roll with it. So that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. All injuries like that always make me think of too. Like, what if it would have happened 100 years ago? Like, would you be walking around with one foot for the rest of your life if it happened 100 years ago?
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. 50 years ago, you might have, lost a leg.
Or like if it happened like on vacation. I mean, you're right. I'd think about these things. Yeah, 100 people broke their legs like this 100 years ago. Maybe not on roller skates, but like similar breaks. I'm not the first here. I mean, you had to let it heal naturally and then just have like a limp the rest of your life. Like, and the painful healing process got to be way worse than what I'm going through. And there's no oxycodone in 1823.
I know that
kind of helps set my mind straight.
Yeah, like, a little perspective.
Stop being a big baby. if this happens in 2023, like, that's the best time for it to happen.
Wow. Right. If it happened in the year 3000, who knows what they can do with it, you know?
Seriously. It's probably like a outpatient laser procedure and you're good to go.
But I bet that Skateland still exists, and you guys want to take bets in the year 3000. Is Skateland still there?
I wouldn't be surprised.
But I want to know how I think you would have been better off on ice. That army crawl would have been a little nicer on ice. You could have just slid across.
Yeah, it's a little better.
But
yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Who knows what would happen?
How many injuries do you think happened at that skate lamp?
I mean,
it seemed like it was a normal like occurrence. Like they were prepared and ready to go. Or
you don't have to sign a waiver or anything, right, to go skating?
No. It's not like when you go to the trampoline park and you sign away everything.
It is a cash only business, which I kind of am skeptical of as a accountant. Cash only business? Come on.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah.
Come on.
But come
something's
on.
What's going on there?
That's a red flag.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't want to pay for the credit card machine. It's worked this way for 50 years. We're going to keep it going.
Well, and apparently they're doing just fine without it.
But they have an ATM machine with a nice surcharge.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like that donut shop.
Yeah.
It's cash only. You should use the ATM. Security cameras.
Oh, yeah. I never
have any. We need the footage.
I mean, I'm sure there probably is. I don't know how frequently they tape over it. I'm not motivated to go reach out for it myself, but if anybody wants to, it happened around 6:30 last Saturday night.
Send an email, Josh.
Business. Do they do email? It's cash only. And a cash only business probably just has cameras at the cash register and nowhere else.
Yeah. I know one of the Skateland attendants like had a clipboard with a sheet that she was asking me questions and jotting things down. So like, I'd imagine they have like a pre-printed injury sheet that they have to go down a list of anytime anybody gets hurt out there. I'm sure it happens. People have told me after the fact, I don't know if there's any truth to this. So this could be hearsay and we're just going to put it out there on the record.
I already believe it. Go ahead.
The rumor is most of the injuries that occur at that skate land are, firearm related.
Okay.
Thus the massive security, like you're getting patted down or metal detectors going in and out of Skateland. A lot of security guards around Skateland on what seems to be, it was 6 o'clock on a Saturday night with a bunch of middle schoolers, but who knows? Maybe the crowd gets rowdy there after hours. I don't know.
Well, in 1982, the government did a research project on roller skating injuries. And apparently 47% of all roller skating injuries involve the wrist because people are falling wrong.
Yeah. I remember, shout out to Dave Merritt. His dad, he had a birthday party there when we were in elementary school, Josh. Dave's a pretty loyal 336er. I specifically remember his dad slipping and breaking his arm at that same skate land. When we were kids. So yeah, I mean, arm, wrist, that makes sense. You're trying to brace yourself before a fall, but my fall, I braced myself with my own leg. my hands and arms weren't an issue.
All right.
That's wild. I mean, you fall all the time. What happens? Why one time does the leg break? That's wild. It's just wild that happens.
Yeah. It was just a funky fall. It was loud. It was crunchy. It was gross.
Well, it says that also in this study from 1982 that skate injuries are influenced by the skating experience, the surface texture, the skate type, the quality of the skate, and then whether or not you have protective equipment or not, which tells me lawsuit. There's at least four things in there that Skate Zone could have handled better. The surface, the skate type, and the skate quality, I think, might be what we lean on here.
Sure. Yeah, someone needs to investigate. They were real quick to cut that skate off my foot, and they probably just threw it in the dumpster because it was faulty or something, right?
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
We need to do some dumpster diving. Screw.
Skeptical about that specific skate.
Was the disco ball going while you were crawling across the skating rink?
I don't remember specifically, but it is definitely like a laser light show in there.
All right, Brett. Well, thanks for story time. Story time's back.
Yep. Wish it was under better circumstances, but I'm always down for a story.
And you squeezed it into January, like the part where it kind of sucks talking about the Orioles.
Yeah. Although there's been some positive, quite a bit of positive, really, Orioles news.
Yeah. No, I'm pumped about the Cole Irvin trade. I'm really excited about it. But first, before we get there, since we got Bert on here, can we just ask real quick, Bert, Lamar Jackson. So the story of the Ravens offseason, this offseason, is Lamar Jackson. I know you started to hate on Joe Flacco as being boring. Then Mr. Lamar came in and you were all pumped again because he's exciting. Now Lamar, conflict dispute. Where are you on kind of what the Ravens should do in regards to Lamar Jackson?
Well, it's a very touchy subject. You don't want to say the wrong thing. And I still love Lamar. And I want Lamar to be our quarterback. But I miss the flashy 2019-2020 Lamar Jackson. When he went out this year, the Tyler Huntley experience 2.0, this is round two. We've already seen it last year.
Yeah,
they are unwatchable. I might as well be Joe Flacco out there, in my opinion, because they're unwatchably boring under Tyler Huntley. Win or lose, even though we squeaked out a couple wins with Tyler Huntley, it wasn't anything exciting. I would have rather gone to Costco. Even pre-injury, Lamar Jackson was not that great this year, and I don't know what that was all about. I mean, week two, that Dolphins game we lost, but he put up five touchdowns, and that was a game the defense lost for us. So again, I would take a loss if it's exciting like that Dolphins game was. And there was another game 2 weeks later, I think, that we lost in the fourth quarter, but it was an exciting game to watch.
Yeah, so again, lead. Yeah, sure.
Losses are much easier to swallow if it was an entertaining game. Wins don't feel great if it doesn't feel like you earned it. And there was nothing exciting about the game. A game where you win 16-14 is boring. I would have rather lost 57-42. Because at least that's an exciting game to watch. So I don't know. That's a lot to say, just to say. It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks, man. I want Lamar back, but I want flashy Lamar. And I don't know that if he can make a resurgence or not. And then I don't know what that means as far as paying the man, because there are certainly a bunch of other teams that will pay him. But they might get 6 or 7 weeks out of him and then backup show for the rest of the year, like we've had the last 2 years. So I don't know. I mean, I can't do anything about it. So I'm just putting my trust in the powers that be with Steve Bisciotti and Eric DaCosta, and trust that, I mean, the Ravens have always been a class act organization. Even when we're down, we still got respect around the league. We're still a destination team for most players, to free agents to want to sign, or players to be traded to, Roquan Smith being a prime example. So as long as we don't become one of those teams like the Browns or Panthers or somewhere where there's the Commanders, there's no hope in sight. There hasn't been hope in sight in decades. Why would anybody want to play for the Commanders? That's the far end of the spectrum, where I feel like the Ravens are on the good end of that spectrum. So even if it doesn't work out with Lamar, they operate a smart organization where something else will come in to fill his place. Maybe not necessarily a quarterback, but he has to get franchise tagged and then traded. I mean, he could bring in a lot with regards to a trade. And even if they end up paying him a ton of money and he negotiates a deal, it's a big risk that he gets hurt again and you only get half a season out of him. So, I'm hearing rumors that this whole thing, maybe, he turned down that massive offer months ago. Maybe he just doesn't want to play for the Ravens, and that's fine too. But I love Lamar. I got Lamar jerseys, Lamar Funko Pops. I bought all in. He's a superstar. He's a talent. He's a once-in-a-lifetime deal when he's playing. He doesn't do us any good on the bench. And he makes my team unwatchable when he's not playing. That's my stance.
Yeah. All right. No, I buy that. That's fair.
Straightforward.
Yeah. I don't think it's all that unusual. I think a lot of people are the same way.
Everyone agrees with that.
It bothers me when I
don't know if everyone agrees with that, but yeah.
Right. Oh, I know they don't, because I do see some of strong opinions.
I think you have people extremes on either end.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. You do. And I'm not one to be on the extreme of any end of anything. I'll always be pros and cons of both things and just try to stay positive with a reasonable and realistic outlook.
But I think it's a good reminder. I think you're right. I think there's little danger. I mean, as Orioles fans, we know what it is kind of to be like the Browns and just be uncompetitive for a long period of time. I think there's very little danger. If we can be competitive and almost win a playoff game with Tyler Huntley, I think we can be competitive with anybody at quarterback. So I think there's very little danger of us becoming, you know, a perennial 6-11 team in the NFL. So I think that's good news because we're well run. But if Lamar Jackson leaves, my concern is this undiscovered country. Like, who replaces Lamar? Is you can complain about Lamar all you want, but who replaces him?
And what kind of team do we then become? Like, what's this? If we focused on changing, so we're not the same type of team we were with Joe Flacco, we then have to go through that again.
Yeah. So I hope we extend Lamar and just everyone's, and we get a receiver and we get a good OC and we win the Super Bowl. That's all I'm asking for.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to say that, you know, that we could have beaten the Bengals in that play. We could have beaten them in week 17 and beaten them in the playoff game.
Just that silly Huntley fumble. Yeah. Yeah. That silly play call and the fumble. Yeah.
Right. So add Lamar and
why have J.K. Dobbins if you're not going to run the man?
That's ridiculous. Yeah.
I mean, and then they got Greg Roman out the door, which also is a step in the right direction.
But this team, if Lamar comes back and signs, how close is this team from being a Super Bowl contender? I think we're right there, right?
If he's playing, absolutely. Yep. But even if we'd have squeaked past the Bengals in that wild card game, I mean, I don't think we beat the Bills or the Chiefs or whoever else was still ahead of us. You know, those teams would laugh at a Tyler Huntley led team.
Yeah, but you know what's funny? I agree. But with Lamar, just watching the Chiefs game where all the receivers got hurt for the Chiefs, who they don't have great receivers to begin with. And it's just interesting to watch like a receiverless team. It reminds me of watching the Ravens, right?
Yeah.
Yet Mahomes is just that great on one ankle with a receiverless team. It was pretty cool to watch.
Yeah.
So it can be done without receivers. You can win.
It's true.
All right. We don't have a ton of time left, but let's get, I'm really excited about the Cole Irvin trade. Josh, first of all, to summarize the trade, we got Cole Irvin, from the Oakland Athletics for Darnell Harnais, a shortstop who made it up to Bowie last year at the age of 21. How do you feel about initial reactions, Josh, when you saw the Orioles made this trade?
Who on the A's signed off on this trade?
Oh, see, I think it's good for both teams. You think it's a one-sided deal?
I think, we gave, our fifth-level shortstop? Now, I think we kind of robbed the Athletics. We got a legit starter for this. But I also know that this is what we've been told. We've been told when we become this type of farm system that we are now, where like we have six of the top 100 guys and we're the top farm system in baseball, it means that our C and D level talents for other teams are A's and B's. And I think that's what happened here is a guy who wasn't going to be able to break it in our organization has an opportunity now at a lesser organization.
Yeah, Darryl Harnais, you're right, the fifth best. You could argue down to eighth best, but, he's a young player with a lot of talent, but you line up shortstops like Holiday, like Westberg, like Ortiz, and you say, where does he rank in kind of that list? And he's clearly well below those. But he's also like a young player with talent, so the Oakland Athletics. I think the weird thing that surprised a lot of people from the Athletics perspective is this guy's making practically league minimum. The pitcher for the Athletics. He's under control for 4 more years. And he was scheduled to be, Josh, their opening day starter. It was a little surprising from that point for the A's because, you could hold on to him.
Right.
But isn't this, Bert, for me, though, even I don't care the player's named, isn't this kind of like the symbolism of this move? This is the first time I think, right, that Michael Elias has traded a prospect for a legit major leaguer. So yeah. This is a sign that things are changing with the Orioles. We're not trading away players for prospects. We're now trading prospects for players, starting now.
Yeah, I mean, you laid it out. It's the big news this past month was how the Orioles have 8 or 9 players in the top 100 prospects in all of baseball right now, and that Elias was able to trade a guy that's not even in that conversation for somebody who's going to be under contract for 4 years. It seems to me like maybe the A's did get a good shortstop out of it. Young guy with a future potentially, but it seems like a typical A's move. I can't point to anyone in particular where it's comparable, but knowing how their ownership operates, it doesn't always, it sometimes defies logic.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. Chapman, like there's a long list of players that they just trade.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure there were some Cole Irvin fans in Oakland, but it wasn't like when the Moneyball year, you know, where they just had to get rid of everybody. I don't know. I mean, I'm all for it because, he immediately becomes a potential opening day starter for the Orioles. I just love the enthusiasm first between on social media for guys like us who are Orioles fans in and out, who generally it's been kind of a dud offseason. And granted, this is not like a superstar splash or anything like that, but it is a positive move, and it's solidifying the starting rotation that is still kind of in question. But I mean, there's one piece done, and the rest of the pieces are more or less there. It's just a matter of determining who's going to take which slot. So the fact that there hasn't been much of any negative opinion from it, I haven't seen any. It's been all generally positive. But then also seeing Cole Irvin's response on social media where he's overly positive and he's excited about it.
Yeah, he's leaving the Coliseum.
Yeah, yeah.
You come to Camden Yards. Where do you think you're going to want to pitch every day?
Right. He's going to face a lot of righties. Face a lot of righties. The left field walls move back to a young team, a competitive team. I read another article that came across MLB, like the top 6 teams to become a bandwagon fan of right now. And we're not including the Yankees or the Dodgers. That's played. Anybody will jump on that bandwagon at any point in time. But these are the teams, if you need a team to cheer for, these are the ones you want. And Orioles, obviously, were in there.
I like that their reasoning in there. One of the reasons for jumping on the Orioles bandwagon is because of the Oriole fans and how the fans will go crazy if this team makes the playoffs. I think it reminds me of back to those fun years.
Yep.
And how this is going to be even greater when we hit it.
Yeah. I think two of the underrated kind of things about this trade that I like, one is Darryl Hernandez. Next year, he would have been eligible for the Rule 5 draft, which means we would have had to put him on our 40-man, or he would have been lost to the Rule 5 draft. He certainly would have been drafted in the Rule 5 if we didn't protect him. And so I think we're now getting to the situation. I remember a few years ago now, when we traded Zach Britton. We traded Zach Britton for a bunch of guys from the Yankees who they didn't have room for in the 40-man. So I think we're getting to the position where we have so many talented players. I mean, think about all the guys that aren't on the 40-man yet. When we talk about these prospects, like Grayson Rodriguez, like Colton Cowser, like Jordan Westberg, like all of them are not on the 40-man. And we're going to need to make room for them on the 40-man this year, next year. And Hernandez I don't think there would have been room for him on the 40-man. So it makes sense. And we're going to be in that position where part of the reason we have to trade prospects is because we're not going to have room when they come eligible for the Rule 5 draft. And we can't keep them because someone else picked them up. So why not get something back for him? That's the first thing I like about it. The second thing I like, I did a whole thing about like a month ago about, you know, the thing that the Orioles were worst at in terms of pitching was quality starts. And people might poo-poo the quality start stat. But what that stat shows is that you have pitchers who can consistently get deep into games. And if you look at the teams who made the playoffs last year, all of them are at the top in quality starts. You have starters who can get deep into the games. And the Orioles were dead last at that, at quality starts. Right. Because and what that does is taxes your bullpen, because we had guys like Tyler Wells who were on a pitch limit. We had guys like Austin Voth, who we don't know if he's a reliever or a starter. Like, we had a bunch of those guys who couldn't get deep into games. The guy who led us in quality starts last year was Jordan Lyles with 13. No one else was in double digits. The next highest guy was Kramer at 8 and then Bradish at 6. Cole Irvin, and all he does is pitches every 5 days and goes deep into games a lot. The past 2 years, he's had 15 quality starts. 15 starts, quality starts in 2021, 15 starts in 2022. That's more than anybody on our team as in terms of quality starts. So you know you're going to get consistently good pitching. I mean, his ERA and his numbers from 2021 and 2022 are almost identical, like very similar numbers. So he's going to be able to pitch it into a lot of games. And that, I think, is very much needed. He threw 181 innings last year, threw 178 the year before. Wow. So he's going to throw 181 innings. He's going to start, you know, in 32 games. And he's kind of adds to that. And you can fit him in wherever you want to fit in the rotation. We can debate about where these guys fit. But he's another kind of consistent guy who can pitch deep into the games. And you're still talking about innings limits on guys like Grayson Rodriguez and DL Hall. Well, you need guys like Cole Irvin who can go out there and pitch deep into the games every day to also save your bullpen, because if other guys can't go deep, you know Irvin can go deep.
Yeah. The way you explained it was good as far as Hernandez with the Rule 5 potentially coming up. I mean, the whole thing screams of a brilliant GM move who anticipates the future.
Right.
He's looking years down the road instead of, like, everyone wants to win now, but the keys are being able to retain these guys that are going to be part of the team and trade away the guys who are not going to be part of the team for the pieces that we're missing now. And Cole Irvin falls smack into that. You need a starting pitcher who can give you close to 200 innings and 15 quality starts in place of a guy who we're not going to have room for next year anyway. So what's the point in dragging him along in Bowie? Yeah, I mean, it's brilliant. I don't want to take away from any other previous GMs, but it doesn't seem like a move that anybody else would have done in prior years.
Yeah. I mean, and part of the complaint about Michael Elias too this offseason, and I agree with you, is like he hasn't brought in a superstar. And I still think there's potential to bring in, whether it's a big bat for the middle lineup or a starting pitcher via trade. We talked about the potential at the trade deadline. Because now, like, everybody thinks, except for the Athletics know they're not in the playoff hunt, but every other team almost thinks they have a chance to make the playoffs at this point. Come June and July, teams will realize they have no chance of playoffs and there'll be more guys up available for trades. Sure. And if we want to make a big move, Josh, I'm not saying Ohtani, but if we want to make a big move for somebody else, then we still have all our – I mean, we didn't trade any of our top 30 prospects. Though, interestingly, I don't think Hernandez was going to be in our top 30 this year. But 3 years ago, he was in our top 30. It just shows how much – and he hasn't gotten worse. It just shows how much our prospect list has gotten better, like you were saying before, Josh, that we could push him off our top 30. But I bet he'll be a top 30 in Oakland's prospect list. Though he wasn't a top 30 for us.
Right, and that's what we wanted. That was the – that's the point of – or it's not the point, but that's a benefit of where this – stage we're at with our farm system.
But we still have all our big chips that, yeah, if we want to make a big deal at the trade deadline to get the top starter available, the top bat available, we still have guys, you know, we still have a deep farm system who we can do that. So it doesn't hurt our farm system at all, or hurts it very, 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 very little. And again, we get a guy in control for 4 years. It's not like it's just a rental for a year.
Sure.
We can pencil him in for the next 4 years. It's just a really smart, good move. And maybe, hopefully, Hernandez turns into a great player, and it's a good move for the Athletics, and it's also a good move for us.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm just loving all the hype with the 8 in the top 100, with Gunnar Henderson being number one. Like, I saw a poll today that Henderson and Grayson Rodriguez are number two favorites for Rookie of the Year this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with, you know, I know Jackson Holliday is still considered a baby, but, like, you know, it's not outside the realm of possibility that he'll be the number one prospect next year. There'll be three consecutive years with the Orioles having the number one prospect. I mean, things are looking good. It's a good time to be optimistic in Birdland, for sure.
Yeah, the Orioles have proven they're not only good at drafting players, because he wasn't a unanimous, like, 1-1 selection with Jordan Holliday, but now everybody, even just his little time in pro ball, everyone's saying, yeah, this guy is Holliday is legit. but they've shown really good. You look at Colton Cowser, Jordan Westberg. They've also shown the ability to kind of really develop guys because guys, a lot of the guys who are in the top 100 are there because of how, not because of where they were drafted, but because of how they have played in professional baseball, just shot up the list, right? Gunnar shot up the list last year. Like he almost out of nowhere. We've seen similar things with Colton Cowser. We speculate maybe Kobe Mayo will be that guy this year. But it's not just that we're drafting guys high because we've been terrible and they're staying there. Like we're developing guys who weren't on the top 100 the year before, but they shoot up there because, you know, they're playing so well in the minors for the Orioles.
Yeah, totally.
All right. We'll end with this. Let's get out of the show on this. This is dumb, but the MLB Show, you guys see the new cover for MLB The Show?
Jazz Chisholm?
Yes.
Yeah, you guys, just reactions to Jazz being the cover of MLB The Show.
I mean, his name is Jazz, and he's got a big personality. I mean, he's got the face for it. He's young. He's a hard guy not to like. There's a question whether his numbers back it up, though.
It doesn't matter about numbers. It's marketing. He's in Miami. That's where they want to sell the game. Miami's a growing city. You're not excited about the Marlins, but it's a team that people can get behind and get excited about and not hate.
Josh, he played in 60 games last year and batted 250. Does that bother you at all?
I know. You're not pushing it. That's what I'm saying. You put Judge on the corner, on the cover, you're going to cause people that don't like Judge. You're going to put...
We went Ohtani. No. Before that, Tatis. Now, Jazz.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's more that goes into it than stats, is what I'd say. If it was just stats and excitement about what happens in between the lines, I think you would have a good shot for putting Adley on there.
Don't confuse baseball stats with selling video games.
Right. It's about selling video games. Jazz will sell more games than Adley.
You think Jazz will sell the most games?
I don't know why. I think they should go with a squad thing maybe next year and put Adley, Grayson, Gunner all on the cover together. But also, does anyone
care? I don't really care.
The cover of the show?
What?
No.
No, nobody cares about the cover. Like,
yeah,
is there a curse? Is there a curse like Madden? There's way more talk about the Madden cover than there is the show cover.
Yeah.
The show, we just all hope every year that they can get it out before baseball season because it's always a struggle.
Yeah. All right. Fine. You guys don't care. Fine. I mean, all right. Does Jazz sell out of jerseys? Does he lead in the league in jerseys? I don't know a lot about this player. That's what I'm just surprised. All right.
Yeah. I get it.
Maybe he's super popular.
He's one of Albie's favorite players.
He is? Okay.
Chisholm quite a bit.
Okay.
But I don't know if he could spout off his stats, but he knows.
Well, it doesn't matter. He just knows his name. Yeah.
He knows the Marlins. He's a big personality and he's a young, fun guy to watch. So that's all it takes.
Yeah. It's good with Albie. It's good with me. All right. Josh, ready to get out of here? Anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
No plugs right now. I mean, I'm still working on new shirts, but I'm not really pushing them until spring training starts. But I'll have about probably 30 new shirts up on the store before spring training starts.
Nice.
So people need to go follow all that stuff on Twitter and Instagram because I keep doing sneak peeks on there until I launch them on the shirt on the store.
I saw the mountain one.
Yeah, I got the mountain. I got I got a Grayson one up now. I got another Adley one. I've got a generic Baltimore one.
You mentioned the show. Are you going to take your own advice? Are you going to do like a duo Adley Gunner thing?
I am playing with the idea of the future. Kind of the future is here with those three guys. So I can always take
the
ideas.
Cavalry, maybe? Yeah, yeah.
Cavalry 3.0? No, I guess one thing that is exciting that happened this week, that next week will be old news, is that Mike Elias did come out and say he expects Grayson Rodriguez to be part of the starting rotation opening day.
That'd be awesome.
So there's a lot of excitement there. So yes, I am going to be working on, I've got a t-shirt that I keep. What I do is I've been looking on Poshmark, which is like this, I don't know. It's a store that people use to buy old clothes. And I've been playing on it, looking at old T-shirts, like 90s Oriole T-shirts.
Right.
And there's this shirt that I've got saved where it's got all the fat heads of all the players. It's like the team and all the fat heads.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So I've been playing with the idea of something like that for these exciting guys on the Orioles this year. So we'll have something coming along similar that combines those, yes.
Okay, cool. I don't want you to say too much because someone might steal it. So we'll leave it there.
Oh, I didn't even talk about that. I should have started the show today complaining about breaking tees stealing my shirt.
Yeah, I saw you.
I'll tell you what. What you
did you get any
see,
response from that?
What you didn't see was the private DMs.
Ooh,
because
okay.
I go in and find out that the owner of Breaking TV was following me on Twitter.
Ooh.
Now, after I caught him out, he is no longer following me on Twitter. And he DM'd me, "I like The Wire too." And that was it. So, yeah, and saying they didn't see the shirt, but it's a direct rip. They copied it. No question.
Oh, yeah. It won't be the last time. Not the first time.
Nope. Yeah. People keep copying. I don't care. I'll keep making new ones. It's why I got to keep rolling out new shirts and new designs because
stay one step ahead.
Yeah. Besides, I still think The Birds is better than Baby Birds. I'm done with Baby Birds.
I like that
all those Baby Birds have grown up, and now we get to have a fun year.
Yeah, they got mustaches sometimes, long hair. Yeah, they're not babies anymore.
The owner of Breaking Tees is an Orioles fan.
Okay.
Because I caught him out on that last year when they were trying to jump on the binocular bandwagon. He found out then he was an Orioles fan.
Oh, the old BB.
Yep.
Binocular bandwagon.
I just thought I missed a reference there. Thanks, Bert. I was going to let it go.
No. Oh, I do.
I felt the need to clarify when there was no reaction.
I do have two new BB shirts coming out this year in Baltimore baseball that are using the old school, like pre Oriole Bird logo. And some of the old school, like if you go to Camden Yards, you know how on the side of the seats it has the old baseball player with the BB and the bats?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm drawing that up for a shirt as well. Because it's a cool little thing that you only know if you go to Camden Yards all the time. Go ahead and steal that so they can do.
Yeah. Go ahead and follow Birdland Sports. Because Josh got a lot of stuff in the hopper there.
Yeah. Maybe Breaking T will block me as well.
Yeah, add it to the list. Add it to the list.
They're starting to block us.
Yeah, that means you're doing well.
Yeah.
So, go ahead and further in sports, support them. Go ahead and support us by going to iTunes. Go ahead, Josh. Fine. Can we get out of here?
Yeah, we never mentioned that this is our 500th episode.
Oh, shoot.
we were supposed to start the show with, hey, it's been 500 episodes.
It was a special song or anything?
No, I Googled 500 and it was, I would walk 500 miles. And
that's yeah.
Let's play that.
I played that on piano for your sister's wedding. See, I did.
You should have busted out the piano. Bert, you should have composed your own little version for the second.
When we do a little live show before opening day, piano.
Yeah.
Piano. All right, let's get
I should be walking around Camden Yards by opening day. It'll be fine. Like it never happened.
Yeah. All right, guys, go to iTunes, write us a review, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Give us 5 stars, write us a review. Follow us on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. You can follow me on Twitter at Section336. You can follow Bert on Twitter
at Bert Rohde.
And you follow Josh on Twitter
at Josh Wilson.
Thanks for listening, boys and girls. And as always, go O's.
Protect this house. The other bad birds, haven't you heard? We've got that underdog style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.